Hello, and welcome to Awards Daily TV's Watercooler Podcast. I'm your regular host, Clarence Moy, and this is another entry in our ongoing series of Emmy Contender Podcasts. Today, I'm talking to Gwendolyn Christie, one of the stars who you know from the hottest show on television this year, HBO's Game of Thrones, which, of course, just wrapped its series run in a massively watched and massively criticized series finale. Here, Gwendolyn's effervescent personality really won me over as she talks about the emotion behind the filming the final season, the struggle to film the episode The Long Night, or as she reveals, many long nights, and her reaction to the final season. Plus, talks about how she predicted who would ultimately sit on the Iron Throne. So kick back and have a listen as I talk to Game of Thrones' very own Brienne of Tarth, Gwendolyn Christie. And of course, be sure to subscribe to the Watercooler Podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts so that you can listen to even more interviews with Emmy contending stars.
Hello.
Hi, Gwendolyn. How are you?
Hi, I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I have to start by saying it's such a complete honor to talk to you. I've been such a huge fan of yours since growing to know you on Game of Thrones, and I'm thrilled and excited to be able to speak with you.
Thank you so, so much. You don't know how much that means to me. It's really kind of you. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, and I do have to say that I have a 14-year-old son, and when I told him I was talking to Captain Phasma, because he doesn't know Brienne of Tarth yet, but when I told him I was talking to Captain Phasma, he kind of went nuts.
What's your son's name?
His name is Cal.
Cal, give Cal my love, will you?
I absolutely will.
Tell him Captain Phasma is ordering him to submit his blaster for inspection.
I will absolutely do that. Okay.
You know, kids love that character. All ages, but kids love that character. It's wild.
They do. They really do. And I was so disappointed that we didn't get to see you without your helmet, but that is a choice they made, I'm sure.
You never know what the future may hold.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Anyway.
All right. Game of Thrones. So let's step back to April at the premiere in New York. And you know, of all the images that came from that night, one of the ones that stuck out in my mind the most was seeing you, you know, in that beautiful couture gown that's sort of the complete antithesis of Brienne of Tarth. What was going through your head that night?
Oh, you know, I'd been in Utah filming something else, and so it had been an amazing experience. And also a great distraction to go from that kind of environment to the premiere, because obviously I was feeling incredibly emotional about the fact that this was the beginning of the end for the show. And so I went and I was really anxious, actually. I was really anxious, but I'd been determined for it to be a celebration. And my great friend, Iris van Herpen, designed the most extraordinary dress for me to wear. And good friends did my hair and makeup. And I was surrounded by friends. My wonderful partner was with me. And we got there. And I stepped out of the car. And I saw Amelia smiling that wonderful 100-watt, megawatt, smile of hers, and the fans that were there, all of the crowd. It was so magical and so full of joy that I couldn't help just feeling real euphoria and delight that I have ever been involved with this show, and that this was something to celebrate, not something to mourn. And I just enjoyed every moment of it.
Amazing. I can't even begin to imagine what that must have been like. That's a great description. As we look at the season, one of the highlights for me personally was the scene where Brienne is knighted by Jaime, and you know, the unexpected emotion in that moment, you know, of so many
seasons of buildup and of deserving that mantle and deserving that role. What was that like for you to finally film that moment when she receives the recognition that she has so richly deserved?
It was exquisite, actually. When I read the scene, I knew that I wanted to think about this for a long time, and I also wanted it to be as fulfilled as I could make it. And it meant a great deal to me because I knew how much it would mean to the character that to receive. I think Brienne had always told herself that she didn't need the recognition of others. She didn't need any kind of accolade. She didn't need any sort of any recognition whatsoever. She was doing what she wanted to do and what she needed to do, and that was enough. And protecting others and being in service of an idea greater than herself was enough. But in that one moment, it's almost childlike. She's given something, the opportunity for something she's always wanted, from someone that she holds in very high regard, who's very, very special to her. And it also, to me, as an actor, I read it and thought it was a wonderful moment about a very unlikely sort of female character achieving their dreams against all of the odds, and the idea that goodness and dedication truly does pay off sometimes. And the idea of it being outside of the usual patriarchal formats of what's achievable, it just in terms of receiving knighthood. For me, Gwendolyn, I was incredibly moved by the scene because it felt like a moment of acceptance. And I've been very, very lucky to work on the show, and I've been very, very lucky to work as an actor. And it's not easy, and it's really difficult for people who are outside of what was considered convention. And this just felt like a moment of being embraced, and I felt very lucky to be working, to be playing the character, to be working with friends, with people I love and admire, and to be working on a project of that quality. And it was a sort of perfect storm in a way. And David Nutter was so brilliant. He really made it his focus to draw a performance out of us all. He really made sure, he was so sensitive to the condition, and that sort of attention to detail and kindness and generosity touched me very deeply also. I love playing the scene.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely comes across in viewing. But I want to go back to something that you'd said about Brienne being a female character who gets what she, her long-term goal by the end of the show. And not many women on the show did get that sort of that long-term goal. Of course, the most notable being Daenerys not getting, well, she did get what she wanted for just a few minutes, but not long-term. As a woman, when you're watching this show, are you given pause by some of the treatment of the women on the show? You know, the rapes and things like that. Is that just part of the fantasy genre, or you know, does it give you sort of pause when you're watching it as a viewer and as a fan of Game of Thrones?
What I think has always been interesting about Game of Thrones is that what we've seen now in watching the final episode, and what was so clever about the final episode, was that we realized that truly, the series has been holding up a mirror to our world and to the way in which human beings behave. And I believe that the books have been based on a sort of 14th century War of the Roses format. Mm-hmm. And the kind of behaviors that occurred at that time. And I think what we've learnt from the show is that its ultimate message is power corrupts. And we have seen that in the show. And we should be disgusted by it. And we should want to do more about it. And we should want to take action as a result. And thank God, hopefully this will stir us all into action in our real living world, to take more action about the things that we care about.
Absolutely. When you look at this season, one of the biggest moments for Brianne, the most physically demanding moments, was the Long Night episode, which I hear was 50 long nights for you as a cast member.
55.
Filming. 55. Wow. Can you tell me some of your personal experiences in those 55 nights? Like, what was that? It must have just been insane to do that.
Well, Miguel Sapochnik is a very talented director, and he had an extremely clear vision about what he wanted. He wanted to create chaos, and he wanted it to be tangible. And he was dealing with such an enormous group of people. It was extraordinary, actually, to look around at the sheer scale of what they were creating. And it was incredibly hard. It was very, very physically demanding, but so magnificent to be a part of. And truly, just what a feat. It's one of those incredible moments on television that you can't believe really quite happened. But I loved being around my fellow actors, and I had a real hoot with Kit and Jacob and Christopher, and Liam didn't really do many of the night shoots, but and Joe Dempsey and Nikolai, of course, and Samuel Tarly, and of course, and you know, Daniel Portman. I just start reeling off everybody that was in the episode, but it sparked in all of us an extraordinary kind of very black humour, where we found we were entertained by the extremity of our circumstances.
Yeah, I can't even begin to imagine. You know, I talked to Nikolai last year, somewhere around the filming of that, and he just seemed very tired. Very, very, very tired and very bewildered.
It was truly exhausting.
Yeah.
It was true exhaustion and chaos. And it was a cacophony of blood, mud, and smoke.
Jumping forward to the finale, you know, there you'd obviously read the scripts. What was, you know, as a viewer of the show and as a, you know, personal fan of the show, what was your reaction to the events of the last few episodes that have been so controversial? And what would you say to the fans who were sort of, who felt disappointed in the story and how it didn't sort of match what they had imagined?
I think it's amazing that people feel so passionately about this piece of television, and I feel incredibly lucky to be involved. It really has caused such a reaction in people. You know, I think that one is always aware that when stories end, they're not always going to end in the way that absolutely everybody feels that they should do. And I think it's incredible that people have been invested so deeply that they have felt an emotional connection to the story. And I hope it means that more Game of Thrones will be made.
Well, I think that's definitely in the cards. So how did you react to it?
Well, I was delighted because I predicted that Bran would be on the Iron Throne.
Really?
I did an interview in 2017. Yeah, I did an interview in 2017 where I was asked who would be on the Iron Throne, and I thought it would be Bran. Well, I didn't think that that's what they would go with. I assumed it would be Daenerys, or it would be Jon, or possibly Sansa, but I thought that maybe the most interesting choice would be the character who isn't interested in power, and the character who isn't ambitious, and therefore is the least corruptible and possibly the best ruler. So I was thrilled. And also, Isaac Hempel-Wright is a brilliant young actor, and he deserves it.
Excellent. Well, maybe you can have a hand in shaping future Game of Thrones episodes, since you so correctly predicted that one. Well, Gwendolyn, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. It's nice to talk to you.
Good
thank
to talk
you
to
very much.
Take care.
Have a good day.
Thank
Take
you
care.
Well.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.